I want us to talk tonight about perspective and in-laws and friends and the influence that people have on our perspective. A lot of life is contingent on perspective. Meaning, a guy walks in from the Zulu tribe and he's bare-chested with a little bit of skin around his waist. He's wearing some animal skin around his waist and he's holding his spear and he's got a necklace filled with bear teeth. And you tell him, sir, we're going to give you this hut and we're going to give you this magic thing. You could just turn it and water will come out. You don't have to go out and draw water from the well. And you show him. And he lets out a whooping war cry and he starts dancing around the tent. And he's so happy. You've given him this faucet and he is rejoicing. He's reveling in the fact that he has a faucet. Perspective. You take the average person, you put him in a Machon Meir room with 8 or 10 or 12 or 16 roommates and you tell him, but you have running water, you have a shower. And he says, you nuts? I got to share a room with 12, 16, 18 people? I never heard of this. Four people in a room. Okay. Perspective. Perspective. A lot of our happiness in life is dependent on our perspective. You tell a person, I'm going to give you a laptop, he's overjoyed. You tell him, well, it doesn't run Vista, it doesn't run XP, it's only Windows 2000, and everyone else around you is going to have XP, and you're going to have a laptop with 512 megabytes of RAM, everyone else is going to have a laptop with 8 gigabytes of RAM, you're going to have a laptop with a screen that's 14-inch monitor, everyone else is going to have a laptop that's 17-inch monitor. Suddenly he's not so happy. Wait a second, what happened? Why aren't you happy? Because our happiness is contingent on our perspective. If only I have a laptop, I'm happy. If everyone else has a laptop, I'm less happy. If everyone else's laptop is better than mine, then I'm even less happy. Our happiness is very often contingent on our perspective. If we maintain a true perspective, then we can maintain happiness in very, very trying times. There's a story in the concentration camps. I don't remember the name of the Hasidic Rebbe. They were in Auschwitz, and it was Erev Yom Kippur. And he called together the people, and he said something which I could never say. Only a person who was in the camp with them could say it. And he said, I think it was Eish Kodesh, the Rebbe of Piasechno. I think, I'm not sure. And he said, as we approach Yom Kippur, and we think about tshuva, so it's not enough that we do tshuva for the times we asked to throw ourselves against the electric wire fence. And it's not enough that we do tshuva for the times that we asked ourselves, when would we be that pillar of smoke that finally makes it out of Auschwitz? We also have to do tshuva for the mornings when we didn't get up with happiness that we have another day to serve our Creator. Now, when I heard that, I was blown away. The man in Auschwitz is telling the Hasidim, we have to be happy every morning we're waking up to the service of our Creator. People lose their children. People don't think they're going to live much longer. They're going to be murdered by the enemy. And he says, yeah, every morning we have to get up and serve our Creator in happiness. Now let's use some cold-hearted logic. Here, in the 21st century, we're not in Auschwitz, Baruch Hashem. But if we had the proper perspective on life, then we could understand it. But it's difficult to get perspective. So I don't want us to discuss that kind of perspective. I want us to discuss a different perspective. Perspective within marriage. A guy once came to me and he said he wants to get divorced. So I asked him, why do you want to get divorced? So he says, I have dreams, I could help build the Jewish people. And my wife, she's not willing to go along with my dreams. She insists on living in a villa and all kinds of amenities. And because I have to work my head off and she keeps spending the money, I can't live up to my dreams. I'd go live a simple lifestyle and devote my life to the Jewish people. And she's not willing to live a simple lifestyle, so all our income goes in the lavish lifestyle she demands, and so I cannot help the Jewish people. So I told him, look, if you were dating, then we'd talk about what kind of girl to look for. But you're married. And Halacha says, once you're married, your perspective is supposed to be, Dayenu, it is enough, Shematzilot otanu minachet, they protect us from sin, we live as husband and wife, Umgadlot et banenu letorah, and they raise our children to Torah. Is she raising your children as good Jews? She's telling them, make a bracha before you eat. She's telling them to keep Shabbos. She's raising them as good Jews, right? Yes. Are you guys living together as husband and wife? Yes. So that's it. She's done her minimum. You have other things you want to attain in life? Yeah. If she's with you, good. If she's not, I'm sorry. We have to figure out how to get around it. But at the end of the day, she's doing much more than what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, once you're married, the perspective has to be, Dayenu, it's enough that we have that. If she's doing that, she's excellent. She's a great wife. Stay married. Don't get divorced. If you could get more than that, great. Recognize that every husband is getting more than that. Again, don't confuse this with when you're dating. We're talking about post-marriage. Dayenu shematzilot otanu minachet umgadlot et banenu letorah. Now, one of the problems in perspective is the mother-in-law. Of course, I'm not talking about mine, but I mean in general. A mother-in-law can sometimes really hurt a person's perspective. If we have a young person who's dating and their parents are against the shidduch, sometimes we'll advise them not to date that girl. If they don't yet want to get married, if it's just a question, do I date a girl from this eidah or that eidah, this age or that age, if the parents are against it, it's not worth it. Because parents can really hurt a person's perspective. Kimitlalea hayore chitzim zikim v'mavet. Shlomo HaMelech said. If a person, he says, I'm just joking. But really, he's shooting arrows, he's shooting death. If the mother keeps pointing out bad things about the husband or the wife, they could very easily alter perspective. So it is best not to enter a situation, if you don't have to, not to enter a situation where the parents are against it. I'm not saying that if you've dated a girl who you think she's the right one and your parents say, no, don't marry her, that you should forego her. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if they tell you in advance, we're against you marrying a girl who's Ashkenazi. Fine. You're 19, you're 20, you're 21, so date Sephardi girls. It's not worth the risk. It's not worth it. Theoretically, you say, well, I'm in a different country, and they're there, and I'm here, and I've already outgrown the home. Perspective is a lot in marriage. And in order to maintain a happy perspective, it's helpful that you don't have someone else who keeps trying to alter your perspective. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick up over here next week.